All right, take your Bibles, please. Turn to Psalm 119. Psalm 119, we're going to read verses 81 through 88 together, and I'll read here in a moment. And we're continuing our study on the ABCs of Psalm 119. I'm not going to review tonight as far as the whole purpose of the psalm. You know, 22 sections, each representing a different letter, the alphabet for the Hebrew language, and used to teach their children. You're tired of hearing me say it, but one of these days you'll learn it. Amen. But tonight, I just want to jump right in. My voice is still a little coarse. I have not been sick. I'm not sick. I think it's some kind of allergy. And I think I'm allergic to my daughter, so maybe when she goes to college, everything, no, I'm teasing, but everything's going to be fine, and I am going to miss her while she's gone, some. Psalm 119, and let's start reading in verse 81, we'll read through verse 88. My soul fainteth for thy salvation, but I hope in thy word. Mine eyes fail for thy word, saying, when wilt thou comfort me? For I am become like a bottle in the smoke. Yet do I not forget thy statutes. How many are the days of thy servant? When wilt thou execute judgment on them that persecute me? The proud have digged pits for me, and are not after thy law. All thy commandments are faithful. They persecute me wrongfully. Help thou me. They had almost consumed me upon the earth, but I forsook not thy precepts. Quicken me after thy loving kindness, so shall I keep the testimony of thy mouth. Now look at me. Keep your Bible open. We're going to use it a little bit tonight, and I want you to stay there. Tonight, I really believe that the Word of God will be used like a medicine for you. Now, this is not one of those lessons that you pop the pill one time and everything's gone and everything feels better. This is one of those prescriptions that you got to take it all the way through. Let me put it this way. It's got multiple doses, but it's on an as-needed basis. You know, the Word of God is much like that anyway. It's on an as-needed basis. But this lesson, if you get it, this thing will get a hold of you and transform your life, I promise you. I told my wife and daughter on the way in, I said, I cannot wait to teach tonight. They don't know what it is. I don't tell them. But I can't wait. And I said, it's not that it's anything new, because there is no new truth, but it puts some pieces of the puzzle together that I never saw before quite like this. And I think it will help you. Now, here we go. We Christians are constantly in a war. We're in a battle almost all the time. I think Sunday morning I preached a sermon. A war is a series of battles. Some you win, some you lose. And the Christians are in a war. And we live our lives, while we live our lives, our body, our flesh is battling the spirit. We battle the flesh and us yielding to the flesh, or we battle the flesh by yielding to the spirit, and the spirit beating us up and the flesh beating us up, and we just are in this constant battle. Now, it's not always a battle that we can see. The enemy we fight isn't sometimes something we see, but we know that war is there, and sometimes that's even more difficult. Now, listen to this statement. Many Christians face battle fatigue, and it affects their personality. It affects their attitude. It affects their outlook on life. See, Christians get tired. They get stressed. They get depressed. They get indifferent over time because they have battle fatigue. I looked up what battle fatigue was. It's not a term used anymore. The most common, the prolonged battle fatigue is called PTSD, or post-traumatic stress syndrome. But there's combat stress, and they call it a few other things. But a term that we all understand, battle fatigue. Battle fatigue is defined by the following symptoms: fatigue, slower reaction time, indecision, Disconnection from one's surroundings. Let's try that again. Disconnection from one's surroundings and the inability to prioritize. I'm having a hard time talking tonight. Here we go. Now, I'll be honest with you. I deal with Christians who have what I consider battle fatigue virtually every week of my life. I mean that. They're discouraged. Their sin has them down. They've been battling a certain sin, and now they're discouraged. Or they're discouraged, things were going bad, now it's going better, and they're just too tired to keep going and keep it successful. And I could go on and on and on, but it's literally like working with people that are in battle fatigue. Now, listen to me carefully. They don't know it, nor do they see it, but this is exactly what it is. Can I tell you something? There is a cure for it. You know, there is a cure for battle fatigue. Now, there is a prevention after you get better to keep it from happening again as well. It's not something that you have to constantly live with. It's not like my hip. I've got a hip that when I was about 9, 10 years old, I had a hip disease, and my hip bone is in my left hip. It's a square peg in a round hole. It's just the way it is. Due to the disease I had, what they call leg calves perthes, and it just is what it is. And it's gonna eventually take its toll on me. But until then, I'm putting up with it. And I'm doing much better with it. Matter of fact, here just in the last 6 months, I went and saw a doctor. I was getting a little worried. He said, well, because your leg's about a half inch shorter than the other side, he said, not quite a half inch. He said, we need to work on this. We did. We got it stretched out, and it's actually lengthened itself, and I don't wear shoe inserts anymore. It's amazing, and I don't have to have surgery. I was less stressed over that. Amen? And it's not one of those things that you have to live with all the time. Battle fatigue is something that you can get through it. Once you get through it, you can see the signs of it coming and prevent it the next time. Now, you don't have to wander through the rest of your life with battle fatigue. You don't need to run and hide. You don't need to run and go sleep it off. But we're gonna see from the Word of God how to deal with this subject. Now, I want you to look at verses 81 again with me through 83, and I want to show you something. And folks, do something for me. I know it's been hot and humid, but just pretend you're excited for a little while. All right, here we go. Verse 81, my soul fainteth for thy salvation, but I hope in thy word. Mine eyes fail for thy word, saying, when wilt thou comfort me? For I am become like a bottle in the smoke, yet do I not forget thy statutes. Now, I have to review something. This is very basic, but it will make sense to you. Let's see here. Brother Barnes, come on up here. Brother Stoltz, you come stand in the middle. Brother Barnes, stand over there. And I will stand here. Now, this represents one person, man is body, soul, and spirit. You got a big body and a little soul and a little spirit. Amen. But man is body, soul, and spirit. Now watch this. I want you to notice verse 81. Does verse 81 say, my flesh or my body fainteth? Does it say, my spirit fainteth? No. It says, my soul fainteth. Faint. Thank you. Pretty bad when you got to tell the soul what to do, amen? Now, go ahead and stand back up. You might fall asleep. I want you to notice something. We are in a battle. Now, body, come closer to the soul here. Well, much closer. The battle is this. The battle is whether you listen to the flesh, the body, or the spirit, that which is spiritual. And this battle is between us. The battle is, don't push too hard, all right? touch not mine anointed. Amen? No. Now, this battle's going on the whole time, and who's getting stuck in the middle here? Your soul. I want you to notice something. The Bible doesn't say the body fainteth or the spirit fainteth. It says because this battle's going on, the soul fainteth. I didn't play Ernest Angley and say be healed either.
Right.
All right. So I want you to understand that is the battle that takes place. Now, the body, that's your carcass. That's the shell. Your spirit is that which communicates with God. Your soul is your personality, your attitude. That's your ability to communicate with each other and amongst each other. That is what your soul is. And God says your soul faints because of the battle between the flesh and the spirit. Thank you, man. You can have a seat. I didn't say fall down. Here. I'll give you your 2 cents worth. Now, that is an important part of this whole truth. Now, listen to me very carefully. The soul is your personality. The battle between the body and the flesh is what wearies the soul. Let me say that again. The battle between the flesh and the spirit is what wearies the soul. Now, the word fainteth. It's a very interesting word. The word fainteth means to expire, to cease, to consume, to be finished. How many times in your Christian life you felt like, I'm done. I don't think I can go any farther, preacher. Not sure I can make it any farther. I've tried it all, preacher. It's still not working. I'm not going to make it. You know what that is? That's your soul being weary from the battle between the flesh and the spirit. That is your soul being wearied and fainting because of the battle between your flesh and your spirit. Now, listen to this statement. The soul gets battle fatigue due to the battle between the flesh and the spirit. I don't think I'm doing the scripture any wrong by saying this. The battle between the flesh and the spirit is fought on the battlefield of your soul. It's fought on the battlefield of your soul. You are the deciding factor which way you lean. Do I yield to the spirit or do I yield to the flesh? You are that deciding factor, and that's where the battle fatigue comes in. Now, listen to this statement. I'm about to have a spell. The Bible is the only thing to bring a soul out of this condition. The Bible is the only thing to bring a soul out of this condition. Chocolate won't do it. Comfort food won't do it. Shooting your gun and killing something won't do it. I'm not talking about a human being either. I'm talking targets or critters or whatever. It doesn't matter what else you do. There is only one thing to fix your soul, and that is the Word of God. I want you to notice something. Look at verse 81. My soul fainteth for thy salvation, but I hope in thy word. Your hope gets renewed by the Word of God. Preacher, I just feel like there's no hope for this situation. Yes, there is. Well, how can you say it? Because that battle's not being fought in my soul right now, and I have the assurance of the Word of God that we have hope that it can be fixed. Well, I just don't see it, right? Because you have battle fatigue. I don't. And your hope is in the Word of God. Look at verse 82. I love this. Mine eyes fail for thy word, saying, when wilt thou comfort me? Well, preacher, I just need somebody to comfort me. That's what the word of God is for. That's what the Holy Ghost is for. And the Holy Ghost, through the word of God, will bring comfort to you. If you're looking for comfort, listen to this, in someone, you're going to be more disappointed and more apt to yield to the flesh than the spirit. Well, I know when I comfort someone, this is what I do, but when you're going through it, you're helping somebody else. Listen to me, you may not need the comfort that you gave somebody else. Did you know, listen to this statement, I'm not going to comfort necessarily Brother Barnes and Miss Sally the same way. I'll give them the same information, but I'm going to approach it from two different angles because they're two different types of people. Now, the result is the same. The advice will be the same. The comfort will be the same. How we get to it may look a little different. Everybody understand that? So, the Bible gives you hope. The Bible gives you comfort. Look at verse 83. For I am become like a bottle in the smoke, yet do I not forget thy statutes. I just don't feel like I'm very important. Nobody sees me. Nobody knows me. A bottle in the smoke. You put a bottle in a room, you know, a glass bottle, and fill the room full of smoke, you'll never see the bottle. Say, why? Because it's clear. That's all you see what's going on around it. And you feel less important. When you're in battle fatigue, you don't feel real important. Well, if I don't show up, nobody's going to notice anyway. God does. And I want you to notice something. The Bible shows you how much you are worth to God. I don't know about you. I need church. It encourages me. It comforts me. It brings me up. Now, not every time. I don't mean this the wrong way, folks. You think I get a little ornery preaching on your sin. Wait till I'm preaching on my sin sometimes. It doesn't feel any better for the guy saying it, just so you know. Everybody doing all right? Hey. It's no more comfortable for me than it is for you. You ought to be working on sermons. And all of a sudden God says, hey, stupid, that's for you. Ooh, that wasn't real nice. I've been there an awful lot. Now, you need the Bible in many ways. I made a statement to someone recently. I don't care how many facts you know about the Bible. It's not how much factual knowledge you have about the Bible. How much application of the Bible do you have? How much are you living? So we need to read the Bible to know what it says. Yes, we do. I read that book every day of my life. I read a lot of it, and I read it constantly. Say why? Because I need to read the Word of God. I think you ought to memorize the Word of God. I think there are verses in the Bible that you can work on to memorize the Word of God. I've been working with Mrs. Moore in our nursery level, and we're getting ready to bump some things up in our nursery. We're getting ready to teach some of the nursery kids some Bible verses. We're going to teach them some songs, and they're going to start memorizing some scripture. You say, well, they're only babies in one and two, and they don't even go to Miss K's class till they're 3 years old. Did you know those critters can learn Bible verses? They're like a sponge. They'll soak it up. Say, well, what are you trying to do? I'm trying to get the Word of God into them as early as we can get it into them. Isn't that what it's all about? Folks, I believe that we ought to memorize the Word of God. I'm not saying you have to memorize chapters. If you can, go for it. I have about 3,500 or so verses to memory. I can't tell you that I sat down to memorize over 3,000 verses. But after reading and reading and reading and reading and memorizing and reading and memorizing and reading and reading and reading and reading and memorizing, all of a sudden it's all there. I think we ought to be so familiar with the Word of God, if somebody took it away, we've got enough of it in here to keep ourselves going. All right? I'm preaching to the choir, so to speak. But I think you ought to listen to preaching Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and sometimes everywhere in between. Not many, I'll bet you, betting's wrong. I'll promise you, I listen to preaching no less than probably 8 to 10 sermons a week. Not the ones I preach either. I don't. Now, I do listen to myself while I'm preaching most of the time. But I listen to sermons. I listen to old preachers. I listen to Brother Hiles, Brother Roloff, J. Frank Norris, Al Lacey, Lester Roloff. I listen to some of the old-timers, Lee Robertson. I got into a patch of Lee Robertson sermons recently. Man, I was having fun. Because I can listen to about three of those, because they're only about 15, 20 minutes long, you know. He didn't preach very long, but man, what he said was power-packed. And I listened to them when they were older men more than I do when they were younger men. You say, why? Because they made all their mistakes and they fixed them by the time they got older. I want to duplicate what they were like towards the end more than I did the beginning. Everybody doing all right? Now, learn to apply and live the Bible. Learn to apply and live the Bible. Can I teach you something fun about Bible truth? Bible truth is like a key. It's like coming into this building at 5:30 in the morning. 5:30 in the morning, the doors are locked. And I've got to use that key to get into the building. I can't use the key for my office until I've used the key for the outside door. Did you know that until you open the door with truth, God doesn't give you another key to open the next truth with till you've unlocked and used that first key? That's good. Once you use that key, you're in. Then I can open up my office door. I can, after a little while, open up my secretary's door, open up the other door in her office, and reheat my coffee because I've been here so long it got cold. But I can't do that until I unlock the outside door. You see, so many of you have the inside door keys, but you haven't used the one that unlocks it all. And God wants you to unlock truth by obeying it. Once you obey it, man, you get another door and another key. And God says, use that one. Let me show you something else. And you unlock that one. You say, wow. And he says, here's another key. Here's another door. Unlock it and watch what happens. You want all the keys and say, look how important I am. Look at all those keys. I don't care how many keys you have. Do you know how to use what's in each one of those rooms? Y'all know what I'm talking about? That's what truth is like. You've got to use it to unlock the depth of the next truth. Now, here we go. Number two. So, number one, the soul is the most affected by the battle. Number two, the war is long but can be endured. The war is long but can be endured. Look at verses 84. How many are the days of thy servant? When wilt thou execute judgment on them that persecute me? The proud have digged pits for me which are not after thy law. All thy commandments are faithful. They persecute me wrongfully. Help thou me. They had almost consumed me upon the earth, but I forsook not thy precepts. Now listen to me. Preacher, why is it that it seems like everybody that's doing wrong is succeeding? Those of us trying to do right struggle so much because you're in the war. You're in a war. And you're looking at the wrong part of the battle. And let me tell you, you can endure this war. God said, by the word of God, you can endure the battle. Look at verse 87. I'm sorry, 84. It says, how many are the days? When wilt thou execute judgment? Can I tell you something? God's keeping score on the enemy. You don't need to keep score. God sees more about it than you see. Did you know this is the best they have if they're not saved? Do you know that to the lost world, this is as good as it ever gets? Good night. Did you know for those of us that are saved, this is as bad as it ever gets? Good night, folks. If this is as bad as it ever gets, we have nothing to whine and cry about. Nothing. You see, I'm just wanting to make sure my enemy gets justice. Don't you think a just and holy God knows how to issue justice? Don't you think God is quite capable of justice? The Bible says the enemy will dig traps for you. Look at verse 85. The proud have digged pits for me. Wow. Do you ever feel like your enemy was trying to trap you? Do you ever feel like somebody was trying to trick you? Trying to consume you? Trying to hide their evil to destroy you? Trying to trap you to hurt you? If you haven't, hold on, you will. They'll do it. I'm a nobody. I know that. But God's allowed me 26 years in the ministry. As of the end of this month, I surrendered to preach on July 31st, 1980. 35 years ago by July 31st, I surrendered to preach. August 1st, I preached my first sermon. I had a youth director that believed in once you do it, you better get busy doing it. I surrendered to preach on the evening of July 31st and preached the morning of August 1st. I stayed awake all night long looking through that book right there saying there's got to be a sermon in there somewhere, but I can't find one. I'm not kidding. Lord have mercy. That was 35 years ago. I've preached well over 10,000 sermons, probably closer to 13,000, 14,000 sermons since then. And guess what? There's that many more plus in there. Don't worry. Well, I'm not going to wear it out. But can I tell you something? There's been a lot of people try to say a lot and do a lot and try to attack a lot. And by the way, according to the Bible, they even lie about you. Look at verse 86. All thy commandments are faithful. They persecute me wrongfully. Oh, preacher, you don't know what they said. They hurt my feelings. That wasn't even true. No. You actually think somebody would say something that wasn't true about you? Who makes you think you're the only one they ever said that about? Look what they're saying about Jesus Christ today. Everybody doing all right? Look what they said about Christ while he was alive. If Jesus didn't get out of this thing without being lied about, what chance do you have? Well, it just hurts my feelings. Why? Why are you listening to what they say? Step above it. Keep living right. Live by the word of God. You may feel like they have or will win. But guess what? They don't have to win. Folks, I've read the last chapter. Guess what? We're on the winning side. I already read what the devil's end is. And guess what? He's going to hell. We get to go to heaven. What are you so worried about? I'm going to make a statement here. The Bible and living the Bible is what will get you through the war. Notice in every one of these verses, look at verse 84. How many are the days of thy servant when thou wilt execute judgment on them that persecute me? Judgment. That's one of the words for the word of God. The proud have dig pits for me, which are not after thy law. All thy commandments are faithful. When they persecuted me wrongfully, help thou me. They had almost consumed me upon the earth, but I forsook not thy precepts. Brother Stoltz, when somebody attacks, I go back to the Word of God. I find out the things that I'm supposed to do, make sure I'm doing those things, and I just keep doing them. Say, how do you endure the battle? I know God told me to praise Him, so I learn, I go back, and I praise God. I know I'm supposed to win souls, so I go out and I go soul winning. I know that I'm supposed to do certain things in the Christian life. I don't run away from church. I don't run away from the people that I love. I don't avoid people. I do the very things God commanded me to do. I make sure I'm doing all of it as God said in the Word of God. I'm reading my Bible. I'm praying. I'm out witnessing. I'm out doing the things and inside doing the things I'm supposed to do. And I get the strength to keep on going in the battle. Well, do you know what they said? Nope, don't tell me. I'm okay without it. I'm okay without it. Well, I heard, I don't listen to it. The Bible will refresh you. The Bible uses a term, I love it. The Bible talks about people that tell lies. They wag their heads. It's like a puppy dog tail, except it's their tongue. It just wags and wags and wags and wags. The Bible will show you what your enemy's plan is. Did you know the devil can't think of anything new? Do you know, since Genesis chapter 3, the devil's plan of attack has been laid out, and we follow his plan? He's the author of sin. Now watch this. If you read enough of that, you're going to find out what your enemy's going to do next. You know, most of the times, I'm about a step or two ahead of my enemy. Because I've read enough of the Word of God, I see what they're doing before they do it, and I know how to respond. Answer not a fool according to his folly. Ooh. So somebody starts becoming fool. Who's a fool? Somebody that denies there's a God. Somebody that denies the Word of God. They're going to start ending up in folly, and they're going to start being foolish. I'm not going to listen to what they say. When churches change, listen to this statement. When they change on the Word of God, and they come up with a new program, and they call the church, Pastor, we think we have something you would like. I always say, no, thank you. You're not even going to listen to it? No. I had somebody call us today. I answered the phone this afternoon. They wanted to put us on the front page of the websites for listings on churches and this, that. And they said, how do you get people to your church? I said, we go out and knock on doors all over the place. They said, well, wouldn't you like it to be a whole lot easier? Wouldn't you like to have your website come up all over the country? I said, ma'am, people in California aren't going to look at my website and drive from California to my church every week. They said, well, yeah, but wouldn't you like it to be a lot easier? I said, no, ma'am, I'd like to obey the Word of God. And he said, go out door to door, house to house, two by two, and tell everybody. No lie, she hung up on me. I mean, I thought, you little twit, you hung up on me. Then I started laughing. She knew I was right. She knew she couldn't help me, and she wasn't even going to talk any longer. She must have met a Baptist preacher before, because she knew what was coming next. Let me tell you something. I'm not interested in the newfangled stuff. Let's just do it God's way. I'm going to endure the battle. How about you? I'm not guilty of battle fatigue. I can't tell you it's never come my way. but I don't live with it. I get back to the Word of God very quickly. I recover very quickly because I let the Word of God do it. And most of the time, I already know what's coming, so I don't get worried about it. I've read enough of the Bible. Not only does it show me what my enemy's going to do, it shows me what I'm supposed to do before they do that. I can prevent a lot of the battles because of the Word of God. I don't get into big arguments. I really don't. Do you know, I don't even know where the Catholic churches are around here. But I don't go down the road to a Catholic church and go in and try to convert the priest. You say, why? I'm not going to get into a battle. Now, if I knock on his door, I'm going to give him the gospel. But I'm not going to stand there and argue with him. If he wants to argue, I'll give him a gospel tract and let him argue with God. I'm not going to stand there and argue. Say, why? Because I'll get mad. I'll get in the flesh. I'll lose the battle, and then I'll get battle fatigue. Boy, that's good stuff. I got to hurry. I'm done. Point number three, and I'm done. Look at verse 87. Quicken me after thy loving kindness. So shall I keep the testimony of thy mouth. Now, I've used that word before. The Bible uses it often. The word quicken, it means give life. It doesn't mean go fast. It means to breathe life into. It means to actually breathe life back into. Notice the word fainteth means expire. The word quicken means, bless you, inspire. Fainting means you're breathing your last breath out. I love that. You're about to die. But the Word of God can breathe life right back into you. Yes, folks, when your soul is down, you need the life-giving, inspiring Word of God to breathe life, to quicken you back for battle situation. I'll promise you. You see, living the Bible is what breathes life back into your soul. Not just reading it, but living it. Recently, a lady called me. She said, "Preacher, I'm just so discouraged. I'm having a bad day. What can I do?" I said, "You probably won't do what I'm going to tell you to do." "No, what can I do?" I said, "Go down to Food Lion. Go down to one of the grocery stores by your house and help some old person carry groceries and open their trunk for them and put the groceries in the trunk for them. Find some mama that's got 13 kids hanging off the grocery cart and she's got two carts, one full of kids and one full of food, and help her. Give them a gospel tract, tell them to have a good day." I said, "Go down to the nursing home, take some goodies with you, and just sit beside somebody's bed and encourage somebody." They said, "You sure?" I said, "I told you you weren't going to do what I said." About 2 hours later, my phone buzzed with a text. They said, "Preacher, I did what you said. Man, I'm having a great day." Well, 2 hours earlier, they were sucking mud with their lower lip. What is that? They started living the Word of God. Not just reading it, but living the Word of God. There are times I'm having a tough day. I'll leave my office. I'll go down to Sheets. I'll go down to Food Lion. I'll go buy something and take it to somebody. I'll just go down there and help somebody. I'll go down there and open the door for somebody. Just to be nice. Just to give them a gospel tract and say, "Have a great day." Not because I'm so spiritual. I'm so not spiritual, I got to do it. My soul is discouraged. Did you ever see somebody that was down and they'll just say, "Oh, my soul"? Yeah, their soul is in battle fatigue. That's a correct statement. Now, living the Bible breathes life into your soul. I'm going to make a statement here. Everybody look at me. God's love is real, whether you see it, feel it, or not. Love sometimes is hard, like a parent has to be on a child. Did you know every once in a while a parent has to be a little hard on a child because they love them? Did you know, boys and girls, teenagers, moms and dads really don't hate children? Boys, just because mom makes sure that you brush your teeth with a toothbrush and toothpaste doesn't mean she hates you. Just because she makes sure you use water and soap when you get in the shower doesn't mean she hates you. Did you know because you're supposed to clean your room and they make sure you do it, not just shove it all under the bed and pull the sheet down so they don't look under the bed? Did you know that when they do it that, you say, how did you know that? I had three children, trust me. I had two of them that tried that. My daughter, no, not me. Did you know that when parents make you do certain things, they don't hate your guts? Did you know that I used to make my boys mow the grass? By the way, my wife will tell you, I like to mow grass. I do. To me, it's enjoyable. It's one of the few things I get to do in life. When I'm done, I can look back and see I did something. When you work with people, you don't get to see that. There's days I walk out of my office and wonder if I did anything. Just because it's just been one person after another all day long and you're hoping that it's going to stick. Watch this. I can mow the grass and look back and say, man, that looked pretty good. Now, 4 days later, it doesn't look like you did anything, but you get to do it again. Now, wait a minute. I taught my boys how to work. Taught them how to cut wood. Taught them how to split wood. Taught them how to stack wood. Taught them how to carry the wood back in and build fires and keep the house heated. By the way, that's why I got a 20 and a 23-year-old that are paying their own bills. One's married. Both of them have good jobs. Say, what was that? I was teaching them something good. They thought it was so terrible. Dad, it's 90 degrees out. I'm going to sweat. Yeah, that's what a real man does. He sweats. Quit hating it. You're going to sweat the rest of your life if you're worth anything. Well, I just don't like sweating. Nobody likes to sweat. Especially when you sweat like I do. I can look at work and be dripping wet. I've got the best sweat glands in the world. They work overload, let me tell you. Now, wait a minute. I don't like that either. Guess what? Sure is good after I've done it, though. Man, it's good. You see, obedience to the Bible is the key to keeping your soul on topside in the battle. Folks, if you would just learn to obey that book during the battle, your soul will be much stronger. See, the problem is your soul. It's not necessarily your spirit. It is that battle between the spirit and the flesh that's being fought in your soul. You let financial pressures get you. You let what people think get to you. You let your grown children get to you. You let your parents get to you. You let your friends get to you. You let all these pressures in, and then it's a battle over the flesh and the spirit being fought on your soul, and you wonder why you walk around with battle fatigue. Can I tell you something? I don't walk around with battle fatigue. I can take a pretty good licking. I can be fighting multiple battles in a war all at the same time, and I'm fine. Say how? Because I got that book right there that keeps my soul encouraged. It keeps my soul encouraged. I can't tell you I don't battle the flesh. I do, trust me. I can't tell you that I'm always listening to the Spirit like I'm supposed to. I wished I could. I'm trying, but I have those same battles that you have. I know how tiring battles can get. I think it was Monday night. I got home finally about 7:30, 8 o'clock. I told my wife, it's a good thing Mindy got her driver's license. I don't think I could make it to go pick her up tonight. I am wore out. I was. Monday night, I hit the pillow, and my wife will tell you this, in 26 years, she can probably count on one hand the times that I went out to sleep before she did. But I'm not sure I even said goodnight. When I finally put my head down, I was gone. What was it? Man, I was tired. Well, by Tuesday morning, I slept 5-6 hours, got back up, put a good day of work in yesterday. Went to bed last night, slept well, got up, back in battle. Y'all know what I'm talking about? I didn't say you'd never get tired. Sometimes you ever wonder if the war's going to stop. Can I tell you something? It probably won't this side of heaven. Quit looking for the war to end. Why don't you just start looking to keep your soul encouraged during the war? You might have a little breather between battles, but the war's not ever going to stop. Say, when will the war stop? When you quit sucking air or Jesus comes back and gets you. Because as long as you have a flesh and as long as you have a spirit, you're going to have a war going on. You go to Romans and you find out that passage. That which I would not. And that which I would not, that I do. And there's battles going on in me. Hey, that's exactly what God's talking about. I cannot promise you that it's going to stop this side of heaven. But I can promise you this, you don't have to have a down soul. Your soul doesn't have to faint. You don't have to be depressed all the time. That's the answer. By the way, listen to this statement. An uninspired Bible can't give you life. An uninspired Bible can't quicken you because it has no life. That one's inspired. You can hold on to it. It'll give you life. Promise you. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I'm done. I think of that song Brother Roloff used to sing. It's a battlefield, brother, not a recreation room. Wow, what a true statement. Is your soul discouraged? Do you get down? Do you have soul battle fatigue? Maybe. You need to get to this altar tonight and let the Word of God heal you